Chapter 5, The CIA, Part 3 in England. Journalist Claude Coben led the fight against the Cliveden set, seemingly unaware that three of the Usters had founded the Royal Institute of International Affairs. He wrote indignantly, "The Usters and others clustered around Chamberlain were a set of appeasers who saw Hitler's regime and their collaboration with it as necessary to maintain the social order they preferred. The Cockburns are too self-limited to understand that the appeasers collaborated with Hitler only to obtain the world war which was essential to their world program. Hitler was duped into going into the Rhineland, duped into going into Czechoslovakia, and duped into attaching Poland. The advertised belief is that he was amazed at the weakness of the opposition to these moves. In fact, he had been promised there would be no opposition, until he went into Poland and discovered he had been duped. Once Hitler had served his purpose, these same bankers plotted to assassinate him. We know the names of Count von Stauffenberg and Fabian von Schlaubrendorf, aristocrats who tried to kill Hitler, but on July 22, 1984, the Washington Post revealed the name of the mastermind, Axel von Dembuscher. He married the daughter of the Earl of Gosford, Baron Aixon, heir attaché at the Paris Embassy. Baron Aixon had married the daughter of John Wrigley Carter, a partner of J.P. Morgan Company, whose father, a Baltimore lawyer, had been legal counsel for the Pennsylvania Railroad and many other railroads. John Wrigley Carter married Alice Morgan, was secretary of the American Embassy, London, 1894-1909, and was partner in J.P. Morgan Company 1914, and also the Paris branch, Morgan Hodge's company. Dean Aixon, a cousin of the Gosfords, also worked for J.P. Morgan Company and later became Secretary of State. The second Earl Gosford had been Governor General of Canada and Governor-in-Chief of all British North America. Richard Davis notes in the English Rothschilds that the Earl of Gosford was a frequent house guest of the Rothschild family. This may explain why his American cousin, Dean Aixon, was plucked from obscurity to become Secretary of State. The cast of characters is really quite small in number. The grandson of a J.P. Morgan partner masterminds the plot against Hitler, cooperating with Schroeder partner Alan Dulles from his Swiss redoubt of the OSS. Admiral Canaries, in charge of the ABWE, Hitler's intelligence services, had made contact with the British Secret Service in London as soon as he assumed that post, through Frankfurt lawyer Fabian von Schlaubrendorf, a key member of the plot, aided by Count Helmut von Moltke, a member of the German Bar and also a member of the Inner Temple of London. Von Moltke's mother was Dorothy Innes, related to the Schroeder banking family. During his first 2 years with the OSS, Bill Donovan accepted no salary. In 1943, he was promoted to Major General, and received pay for that grade. In 1943, OSS had a $35 million budget, with 1,651 employees, which increased tenfold the following year to 16,000. By the end of the war, there were 30,000 agents and sub-agents, many of whom were involved in looting, blackmail, and other money-making schemes. Airplanes were often commandeered for mysterious flights to haul huge sums in gold, diamonds, paintings and other treasure. From the outset, the OSS had been dealing in large sums in gold. In the spring of 1942, $5 million in gold coins was sent to North Africa to finance secret operations. After the North African invasion, certain bankers who had been holding francs worth 100 million were suddenly worth 500 million. Large-scale currency transactions were handled for the OSS by an underworld figure named Limka Dubrail, who was shot by unknown gunmen at his Casablanca home. The political advisor to the Supreme Allied Commander, Mediterranean, was Robert D. Murphy, whose wife was a manic depressive, and whose daughter committed suicide. He was having an affair with the Princess Berlin, official representative of the Comte Paris, a Bourbon and pretender to the throne of France. She deeply involved Murphy and the OSS with her principal associate, a Syrian Jew named David Zagar, who dealt in million-dollar estates, gems and antiques. He had large holdings in Damascus, and he laundered millions of dollars of OS funds through Limgrad Ubrail, until that worthy's assassination in Casablanca. The wheelings and dealings have also characterized the operations of OS successor, the CIA, often called the Central Investment Agency, because of its many nefarious dealings. V. Lada Mokarski, president of J. Henry Schroeder, was chief of secret intelligence operations for OS Italy 1943. The OS secret files later turned up in the hands of Propaganda U.P., a secret Masonic organization which included many prominent figures in Italy. The go-between for PA and the CIA was Michael Sindona, the conduit for $65 million which the CIA pumped into Italian elections. He was connected with the Nixon law firm, and with John McCaffrey, chief of resistance forces in Europe for British intelligence during World War II, and later representative of Hambro's Bank, and also with Prince Borghese. Although Borghese had been condemned to be executed during World War II, he was rescued by James Angleton, later Vatican consultant for the CIA. Sindona, McCaffrey and Borghese were partners in an Italian bank, Universal Banking Corporation, which was a front for Meyer Lansky and the Mafia. The collapse of Banco Ambrosiano cost the Vatican $1 billion, later reduced to $250 million, ending in the murder of its president Roberto Galvi, found hanging from Blackfriars Bridge in London. He was declared a suicide, but a judge later rendered the finding he had been murdered by persons unknown. General Donovan also had an important family connection with the Harrimans. His wife's cousin, Charles Rumsey, had married W. Averill Harriman's sister Mary. The Harrimans had been brought up on their New York estate, Arden, which had 30,000 acres, a 150-room house, and a crew of 600 working constantly to keep things in order. Harriman's other sister married Robert Livingston Gerry, son of Commodore Elbridge Gerry. Their son, Elbridge Gerry, is a partner of Brown Brothers Harriman. In 1939, Donovan had purchased a farm near Berryville, Chapel Hill Farm. In 1945, he sold his Georgetown house to Catherine Graham, of the Washington Post family. The farm was taken over by the Rumsey Trust. Donovan lived at 1 Sutton Place, New York, the address made fashionable by Bessie Marbury, the queen of the international homosexual set who, as the leading power in the Democratic Party, had made it possible for Franklin D. Roosevelt to become governor of New York. In 1921, developer Elliot Cross sold Marbury's wife, Elsie DeWolf, No. 13 Sutton Place. The Times soon noted a curious migration, headlining that Mrs. K. Vanderbilt and Ann Morgan had bought homes in Sutton Place, a little known to block thoroughfare. Mrs. Vanderbilt paid $50,000 for her home, Ann Morgan, daughter of J.P. Morgan, and member of the DeWolf Marbury Hellfire set, paid $75,000. They then spent several hundred thousand dollars renovating these homes. The Times characterized the Sutton Place curious migration as a malicious dig at the well-known proclivities of the new settlers, who would soon make Manhattan notorious as the world headquarters of the homosexual movement. Donovan's surviving son had refused to enter the law firm or to have anything to do with the OS. He had a distinguished wartime career as a Navy captain in charge of landing operations at Sicily and other invasions. At a New Year's Eve celebration, 1946, his 5-year-old daughter Sheilan accidentally drank silver Polish and died. His wife died after an overdose of sleeping pills. Intrepid's last case notes that a political decision forced the OS to surrender to Moscow the captured Soviet military and diplomatic code books on intelligence from the Nazis. The greatest intelligence coup in history came to naught after Roosevelt's 3 communist associates demanded that this complete set of Soviet code books be returned to Stalin. On May 17, 1945, Donovan became Special Assistant to Justice Robert H. Jackson, U.S. prosecutor at the Nuremberg trials. Although the captured German leaders were accused of many things, they were never accused of having accepted money from the Bank of England, or of being financed by the Schroeder Bank. Baron Kurt von Schroeder had been arrested and transferred to a British detention camp. A German denazification court later fined him 1,500 RM and sentenced him to 3 months' detention. Since he had already been held for that period, he was released. The New York Times on Feb.29, 1948 demanded that he be tried by an Allied military tribunal. Von Schroeder is as guilty as Hitler or Goering. In May 1945, William Stevenson formed the British-American-Canadian Corporation in New York, later changed to a Panamanian registry as the World Commerce Corporation April 2, 1947. When Germany surrendered, the London office of OSS had $10 million on hand, deposited in Hambro's and Schroeder's banks. This money could not be returned to the U.S. government without stating where it had come from. As proceeds from dealings in gold and jewels, an inquiry could provoke a congressional investigation. The principals decided to hold it in abeyance for future operations in the new corporations, whose officers were Stevenson, Donovan, Sir Charles Hambro, Edward R. Stettinius, Russell Fogan of Glaw Fogan Company, nephew of James Fogan, first president of the Federal Advisory Council of the Federal Reserve Board, and successor to David Bruce as chief of OSS Europe, Sidney Weinberg, head of the special OSS mission to Moscow, Nelson Rockefeller, Colonel Rex Benson Menzies of CIS and chairman of Robert Benson Company Merchant Bankers, John J. McCloy, Richard Mellon, Sir Victor Sassoon, Lord Leathers, Sir William Roots of Roots Motors, Sir Alexander Corder, Olaf Hambro, Brig W.T. Keswick, head of Jardine Matheson Company, director of Hudson Bay Company, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, and chief of special operations executive in Asia, World War II, Sir Harold Werner, British industrialist, Ian Fleming of the Kelmsley Press, David Bruce, Joseph C. Grew, nephew of J.P. Morgan, and L.L. Strauss of Kuhn, Loeb & Company. The new firm operated closely with Morgan Grenfell, Jardine Matheson, and British and Western Trading Company in 1950. Donovan listed World Commerce Corporation as the only firm in which he held an interest. The president at the time was Frank T. Ryan, director John J. Ryan, both of Bache and Co. Other directors were Alfred DuPont, Russell Fogan, Jocelyn Hambro, Joseph Grew, and William Stevenson, who gave his address as Plaza Hotel, New York, with residence in Jamaica, and listed himself as chairman of the board of Caribbean Cement Company and Bermuda Hotels Corporation. President Truman disliked the idea of a secret service, and dissolved OSS at the end of the war. 1,600 of its operatives went to the State Department Intelligence and Research Bureau, others went to the Defense Department, where Robert McNamara set up the Defense Intelligence Agency in 1961. Truman set up the Office of Policy Coordination in 1948, which by National Security Council Directive 10/2 merged into the CIA January 4, 1951, with the Office of Special and Clandestine Services. Although Truman had dissolved the OSS on September 20, 1945, his 1948 directive appointed 3 men to supervise the organization of a new intelligence agency: Alan W. Dulles, of the Schroeder Bank, William Harding Jackson, a Wall Street lawyer who married into the Lyman family, became a lawyer with Cadwalder, Wickersham and Taft, and later with Carter, Ledyard and Milburn, J.P. Morgan's attorneys. In January 1944, Jackson had been named head of intelligence at American military headquarters in London. He was chief of intelligence for General Jacob Devers, and later headed G to intelligence for General Omar Bradley. He became a partner of J.H. Whitney Company, New York, in 1947, served as deputy director of the CIA 1950-51, and later was Speck. Asked to President Eisenhower for national security, the third man on Truman's team was Matthias F. Gora, also a Wall Street lawyer, whose mother was of the Figueroa family. His father was head of real estate and investments for the Brooklyn Diocese, and his brother was Speck. Asked to the Attorney General of the U.S. 1946, General Counsel Odom 1951-52, and Vice President Rick R. Truman later came to be deeply suspicious of the CIA. He told Merle Miller, plain speaking, "Now, as nearly as I can make out, those fellows in the CIA don't just report on wars and the like, they go out and make their own." Alan Dulles placed a verse from the Bible, John 8:32, in the entrance to the CIA building, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Alan W. Dulles was chief of the new agency, Frank Wisner was his deputy. It grew from 5,000 to 15,000 personnel by 1955. In 1974, it had 16,500 agents and a $750 million budget. In all, the National Security Agency had $6 billion to spend for intelligence. The CIA has often been called the Central Investment Agency, not only because of the Wall Street backgrounds of Donovan, Dulles and many other principals, but because of the many commercial operations in which it has engaged. The CIA is always referred to, not by accident, by its insiders, as the company. A great deal of stock trading is based upon inside CIA information, buying and selling on the basis of secret intelligence gathered by the CIA all over the world. The CIA has also spent billions to influence foreign elections, always for candidates inimical to the interests of the people of the United States, but dedicated to the program of the world order. However, its principal influence has been through its control of foundations and universities. The American people remain blissfully unaware that their constitutional government, with its separated powers of legislative, judicial, and executive departments, has been entirely superseded by the foundations, which generate basic policy for all three branches. Monetary policy is generated by the Brookings Institution and implemented through the Federal Reserve System independent of Congress, which has constitutional power to regulate the monetary system. Social policies, originated by the Ford and Rockefeller foundations, are enacted into law by Congress and upheld against all challenges by the Supreme Court. Foreign policy, a prerogative of the executive branch, is entirely based on foundation studies and recommendations. Staffs of all three departments are heavily infiltrated by foundation operatives. The CIA functions as the coordinating agency between the foundations and the departments of government. The Washington Post of December 8, 1984 verified this with an obituary of Don Harris, relating that he came to Washington in 1950 as an economist with the Brookings Institution, then moved to the CIA as chief of the Far East and the West Europe staffs for 3 years. He then joined the Defense Intelligence Agency's Directorate of Plans and Policy, where he served until 1983. With George Bundy, in The Dimensions of Diplomacy, 1964, noted, "All area study programs in American universities after the war were manned, directed or stimulated by graduates of the OSS. There is a high measure of interpenetration between universities with area programs and information gathering agencies of the government of the U.S. As head of the Ford Foundation, Bundy was in a position to know about the interpenetration." The Washington Post, April 21, 1984, noted that the CIA was funneling money to many universities through Air Force intelligence grants or other defense operations, including Duke, Stanford, University of Texas, and many others. The Chancellor of the University of Pittsburgh, Wesley Posvar, had received many Air Force intelligence grants as a retired Air Force intelligence colonel, funneled through Major General James F. Forts, head of Air Force intelligence. Posvar is a member of the German Marshall Fund. the CIA has spent millions to fund newspapers, magazines, and publishers to promote the program of the world order. Frederick A. Prager Company, New York, an emigre publishing firm, admitted in 1967 it had published 15 or 16 books for the CIA. Many writers and journalists have been liberally subsidized by the CIA with travel expenses, a villa in France or Switzerland, and other perks, to produce propaganda for the CIA and its ulterior goals. The National Review is considered the most influential CIA publication. It consistently puffs Gene Kirkpatrick, Milton Friedman, and other cognoscenti of the intelligence community in the Viennese School of Economics. The New York Times, December 8, 1984, noted the marriage of William Buckley's son Christopher to Lucy Gregg, daughter of 31-year CIA official Donald Finney Gregg, who is now personal advisor on national security to Vice President Bush. Buckley founded the National Review with Maury Riskind and George Sokolsky, funding the publication with ample funds from the Central Investment Agency and its Wall Street connections. Buckley's only known employment was his stint with the CIA under Howard Hunt at the CIA's station in Mexico City, immediately after Buckley graduated from Yale. Buckley became godfather to Hunt's children. N's kids and SID's no. 7 gave the CIA power to question Americans in the U.S. about their foreign travel and to make contracts with American universities. J. Edgar Hoover's influence gave rise to the National Security Act of 1947, which forbade the CIA to exercise any internal security functions or police powers in the U.S. FBI territory. But Hoover lived to see the act continually flouted by the greater finances of the CIA. On March 12, 1947, the Truman Doctrine was announced as America's new foreign policy. On June 5, 1947, the Marshall Plan was announced. Both doctrines had originated in foundation studies subsidized by the CIA and were to be implemented under close CIA supervision. The new CIA continues its close ties with the Schroeder Bank and other linchpins of international intelligence. Alan Dulles, a director of J. Henry Schroeder, and lawyer for the bank as attorney with Sullivan and Cromwell, chose Schroeder to handle the vast disbursements of the CIA's discretionary fund, whose financial dealings remain cloaked in secrecy. Secretary of War Robert Patterson was a director of Schroeder, as was Harold Brown, Carter's Secretary of Defense. Paul H. Nitz, our chief arms negotiator, not only was a director of Schroeder, but married into the Pratt family of Standard Oil, who donated their New York mansion as the headquarters of the CFR. John McCone, later director of the CIA, was partner of Bechtel McCone, giant war contractor financed by Schroeder Rockefeller Company. Richard Helms, also a director of CIA, is a consultant with Bechtel. Although from a family of modest means, Helms was educated at the world's most exclusive prep school, La Rosie of Switzerland, where he became a friend of the Shah of Iran. The Schroeder CIA connection was revealed in a lawsuit in which documents were filed showing a payment of $38,902 to Edwin Moore, on orders from Richard Helms. Gordon Richardson was chairman of Schroeder from 1963 to 1973, when he was named governor of the Bank of England, where he served for 10 years. Richardson, also a director of Lloyds Bank and Rolls-Royce, maintained a New York address on Sutton Place near Donovan's residence. The Cabot family of Boston, descended from Sebastian Cabot, who was an early member of the World Order, has maintained a close relationship with the CIA. The founder of the family, Giovanni Caboto of Genoa, became John Cabot when he moved to England in 1448 under Henry VII. His son Sebastian accompanied him on his North American trip in 1497. Sebastian had been born in Venice in 1476. He moved to England in 1551, was granted a pension and founded the London Muscovy Company, which developed overland routes across Europe to Russia. Thomas D. Cabot, honorary chairman of Cabot Corporation, was director of Office of Inter-American Affairs for the State Department 1951, president of United Fruit, and set up Radio Swan on Swan Island for the CIA. He went on a special mission to Egypt in 1953. His brother John was in the Foreign Service from 1926, served as Consul General Shangi, ambassador to Pakistan, Finland and Colombia, Brazil and Poland. He was U.S. delegate to Dumbarton Oaks in 1994, and was secretary to the United Nations Organization in San Francisco in 1945 under Al-Jahiss. Paul Cabot is director of J.P. Morgan Company, Ford, Continental Can, Goodrich, and M.A. Hanna Company. Lord Harold Cacchier is also a director of Cabot Corporation. He served on the Allied Control Commission in Italy 1943-94 as political advisor, ambassador to Austria 1951-54, ambassador to U.S. 1956-61. He is also on the board of Orion Bank, National Westminster Bank and Prudential Assurance. He is CHMN of Standard Telephone and Cable. An earlier member of the Cabot family, George Cabot, 1752-1823, owned 40 privateers and letters of marque in 1777-78. And became the first Secretary of the Navy. High-level CIA policy was regularly determined at secret meetings at Pratt House, CFR headquarters in New York, as revealed by Vic Marchetti, in Cult of Intelligence. He describes a top-level meeting at Pratt House January 8, 1965 at 5 p.m., chaired by C. Douglas Dillon, CHMN of Dillon, Reed. The main speaker was Richard Bissell, director of CIA clandestine operations. This was the third meeting of this address. William J. Barnes was secretary. His father was Episcopalian bishop of the Dallas division. Present were Frank Altschul, partner of Lazard Free Ears, who married into the Lehman family. Altschul was CHMN National Planning Arson, director of Ford Foundation, China Institute in America, American Institute of International Education, and Vice President Woodrow Wilson Foundation, Robert Amery, Dep. Der CIA 1952-62, National Security Planning Board 1953-61, Meyer Bernstein, Colonel Sidney Berry, former military ast. To Secretary of Defense 1961-64, now Deputy Chief of Personnel Operations, U.S. Army, Alan W. Dulles, George S. Franklin Jr. Lawyer with Davis Polk and Wardwell, asked. To Nelson Rockefeller in 1940, Intelligence Department State 1941-44, Executive Div. Council on Foreign Relations 1945-71, National Secretary of the Trilateral Commission 1972, Member Atlantic Council, Dietschleff Nation, American Council on United Europe, Thomas L. Hughes, head of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, Al-Jahiss, former Post, Joseph Kraft, newspaper columnist, Washington Post, L.A. Times, etc. Eugene Fubini, naturalized U.S. 1945, technical advisor U.S. of Army and Navy on radio techniques, was with CBS 1938-42 with the Secretary of Defense since 1961, National Security Agency since 1965, CHMN Defense Intelligence Agency, Harry Howransom, Vanderbilt Professor, Rockefeller Foundation, Institute of Strategic Studies, London, Theodore Sorensen, President Kennedy's assistant 1957-61, now attorney with Paul Weiss and Drifkind, David B. Sage, Professor Bennington, Trustee Russell Sage, FNDTN and 20th Century Fund. Bissell, the principal speaker, had been educated at Groton, Yale and London School of Economics, was economist with War Shipping Board 1942-45, Harriman Committee for President 1947-48, Eckhart 1948-51, Ford Foundation 1952-55, Depdeur. CIA 1954-64, Consultant to Fortune, U.S. Steel, and Asiatic Petroleum. CIA financial operations continually surface and are quickly forgotten. Jack Anderson noted in a column July 30, 1984 that to Ospals in World War II, Joe Rosenbaum, a venture capitalist, and William J. Casey, present head of the CIA, had been involved in a huge Mideast pipeline deal with former Secretary of the Navy William J. Middendorf, now U.S. Ambassador to the Organization of American States. Middendorf is a director of First American Bank of VAR, which handles many financial dealings for the CIA. Directors of First American are Eugene R. Casey, Lieutenant General Elwood Quesada, who married into the Pulitzer family, asked Chief of Air on the General Staff, now Director of the Munitions firm Olin Industries, Stuart Symington, who married into the Wadsworth family, was formerly Secretary of the Air Force and Senator from Missouri, Chairman of Emerson Electric, a defense contractor, Lieutenant General James M. Gavine, Director Guggenheim Foundation, Chairman of Arthur D. Little Company said to be a branch of CIA operations. In Spooks, Jim Hugan exposes another firm with CIA ties, Quantum Corporation based at Rockefeller-owned L'Enfant Plaza in Washington, which sold arms to both sides in the Arab-Israeli conflict. Chairman was Ross Scott Reeves E., heir to an ad fortune. His father sold Eisenhower like soap with a series of brilliant TV ads. Reeves E. married into the Squibb family, was with Lazard Free Rears from 1962-7, and Military Armaments Corporation 1972-4. Ye's father was a limited partner of Oppenheimer Company. Other members of Quantum were Mitch Werb L.E.I., a CIA operative who had the rank of General, U.S. Army, Edmund Lynch, Stuart Mott, Lou Cohn, a Union Corps operative known throughout Southeast Asia as Black Luigi, Walter Furtzheimer, former aide to Alan Dulles. He kept two apartments at Washington's most expensive address, Watergate. One was filled with his documentation on intelligence activities. He was found murdered at Watergate, and Paul Rothermeal, liaison between CIA and FBI, who W.S. sent on a special mission to H.L. Hunt's headquarters in Dallas to destroy the Hunt Oil Company after millions of dollars vanished, and the Hunt Oil Company was on the verge of bankruptcy. The Hunts sued him, but were unable to prosecute because of national security. The sinking of the USS Liberty, a government intelligence ship, by the Israelis in the 1967 war exposed the close collaboration between the CIA and Mossad, Israeli military intelligence. The CIA representative at the U.S. Embassy, Tel Aviv, reported to the senior office CIA at McLean VAR, June 7, 1967, that Israel had decided to sink the USS Liberty. The CIA refused to warn the doomed American sailors. With President Johnson in the White House at the time were Matt Hilder and Arthur Krim, Johnson's liaison with the Israeli GOVT. Matt Hilder was a former Ogun terrorist who had served on terrorist strikes with Menachem Begin, who boasted he had introduced terrorism to the entire world. Andrew Dull, in The Super Spies, reveals another CIA cover-up. The entire operational plan for the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia in July 1968 was obtained by a German operative in May. He delivered the plans to Lieutenant General Jos. F. Carroll, der Defense Intelligence Agency in Berlin. Carroll outlined a plan to leak this intelligence, which would force the Soviet Union to abandon the operation. Ambassador to West Germany Henry Cabot Lodge was briefed on the leak, but received direct orders from Washington to cancel it from Secretary of Defense Clark Clifford. the world order did not wish to interfere with the planned invasion. The Soviet Union was aware of the discovery, and postponed the invasion from July to August 21. During this period, they were assured by Washington officials that the U.S. would not interfere. With this top-level go-ahead, the Red Army's conquest of Czechoslovakia was successfully implemented. We have mentioned the CIA-Mossad connection of James Angleton. The State of Israel was largely created by a Hungarian Jew named Tibor Rosenbaum, who procured arms and money through his Swiss base for both the Haganah and Stern gangs of terrorists, through his control of the International Credit Bank in Switzerland. International Credit Bank was the foreign bank for Meyer Lansky's mafia operations, and also handled Mossad's European funds for secret operations. Rosenbaum was the mastermind of Bernie Kornfield's operation. Kornfield's successor at IOS, Robert Vesco, later fled to Central America with $224 million of IOS fund, and is now the partner of Fidel Castro in a huge drug operation which netted $20 billion profit between 1982-84. Castro's cut, $50 million, has been deposited in Swiss banks. Chapter 5, The CIA, Part 4 in 1965. The CIA correspondent in Africa was Michael King, partners with Dr. Joseph Gba in Consultants Research Associates, 509 Fifth Avenue, New York. He is Naomi Kahane, member of the Israel Knesset and head of the terrorist Jewish Defense League. Part of their CIA duties was to mobilize campus riots against the Vietnam War at Columbia and Adelphi College. King's girlfriend, Donna Evans, fell or was thrown from the Queensboro Bridge in July, 1966. Another important CIA figure was Robert Meyer, who was liaison between the CIA and J. Edgar Hoover of the FBI. Meyer later became head of Howard Hughes' Las Vegas operations. His code name in the CIA was Stockholder. In Os, The Secret History, R. Harris Smith states that Ho Chi Minh had made contact with OS Colonel Paul Helliwell at Kunming in World War II and was recruited as an agent. Ho's reports soon received top priority at OS headquarters in Washington, and were placed directly on General Donovan's desk. Helliwell, who later became consul for the Thai government in Miami, and Major Austin Glass, a Socony oil official, sent arms to Ho for his revolutionary struggle. Another early Ho supporter from OS was Lieutenant Thibaut de Saint-Phal, nephew of a prominent Paris banker. Journalist Robert Chaplin was later told that an official of Chase Manhattan Bank was parachuted into Ho's remote headquarters, where he found the guerrilla leader dying of malaria and dysentery. With only a few hours to live, he was saved when an OS medic, Paul Hoagland, was flown in. He saved Ho's life by administering the new sulfur drugs and quinine. He later served at CIA headquarters until the 1970s, where he was always known as the man who saved Ho's life. After Ho was out of danger, a special OS contingent, the DEAR team, was sent to Ho's headquarters in November 1945. The members of this team were unanimous in their denunciation of the French imperialists, the colonial government. They boasted that it had been decided at the highest levels in Washington that the French had to go. A prominent member of this team was Captain Nicholas Deák, a Hungarian, now president of Deák Pereira. He has controlling interests in Swiss and Austrian banks, and operates currency exchanges in the US, Canada and the Far East. The French were dismayed to learn that their American allies were training and arming Ho's Viet Minh forces. Ho was informed that General Donovan represented large economic interests, the World Commerce Corporation, which planned to rebuild Vietnam's railroads and highways, in exchange for economic privileges in Indochina. In October 1945, the OS sponsored the Vietnam Friendship Association headed by OS Lieutenant Colonel Carlton H. Swift. The OS armed Ho Chi Minh's forces with the latest weapons, and gave intensive training in infiltration and demolition to 200 selected men of General Jupp's army. It was these men who later led the attacks against American troops in the Vietnam War. The US sponsorship of the Viet Minutes and other terrorist groups around the world led Robert Welch to charge that the US has thrown the weight of American supplies, arms, money and prestige behind the communist terrorist organizations of Europe and Asia. The Deer Team claimed that Ho was a great statesman whose nationalism transcended his communist loyalties. To supervise the developing political situation in Southeast Asia, Donovan was appointed ambassador to Thailand by Secretary of State John Foster Dulles on August 12, 1953. Donovan's assistant was William J. Van den Heuvel. After his return to the U.S., Donovan had a stroke in 1956. He kept to his apartment in Sutton Place and rarely went to his law office. In 1957, another stroke left his brain atrophied. He lingered for several years, finally going to Walter Reed Hospital, where he died in February 1959. The Austrian forces of Ho Chi Minh kept up a steady onslaught against the French colonial government. John Foster Dulles, playing a double game, met with Georges Bidault, and urged the French to make a stand. "We will provide support," he promised. When the French forces were surrounded at Dien Bien Phu, Bidault, to explain his strategy, read Dulles' commitment to the French Parliament. Dien Bien Phu collapsed after a 77-day siege, and the French government was lost. Le Figaro claimed that the State Department, the White House and the Kremlin, had made a secret deal to partition French Indochina into U.S. and Soviet zones, as had been done in Korea. Whatever agreement may have been reached, it is a fact that the Soviet Army and Navy now have full use of the billion-dollar Da Nang Airport and the vast naval facilities built in Vietnam by Lyndon B. Johnson's financial backers, Brown and Root. One explanation of the fall of French Indochina was a behind-the-scenes struggle to control the dope trade in Asia. Alfred McCoy points out that during World War II, Lucky Luciano and Meyer Lansky secretly worked for the US. Through their influence, the US became deeply involved in dope running. After the war, Lansky moved the headquarters of the dope traffic to Miami, where Paul Helliwell, US Chief of Special Operations in Asia, was his front man. Helliwell also operated a CIA front in Miami called C-Supply, Incorporated. One of his agents was Howard Hunt. Helliwell later served as paymaster for CIA sponsorship of the Bay of Pigs operation. He opened secret accounts for American mobsters in Miami banks, working closely with Sandro Trafficante and Louis Chesler. Chesler handled Meyer Lansky's real estate investments. The involvement of the mob in dope running goes back to well before the murder of Arnold Rothstein. Although Rothstein was widely known as a gambler, this was a cover for his rise to eminence as Mr. Big of the U.S. drug trade. After he was shot in 1928, Louis Lepke, head of Murder Incorporated, confiscated over $5 million worth of heroin from Rothstein's hotel room. Former US Colonel Paul Helliwell became head of the prestigious Miami law firm, Helliwell, Melrose and a Wolf. His partner, Mary Jane Melrose, was attorney for Resorts International, a Vesco Lansky operation in which Nixon's friend Rebozo was said to have an interest. Helliwell opened the Castle Bank in the Bahamas to launder drug payoffs for Thailand poppy growers. As Thai consul, his Washington correspondent was Roland Cork, close advisors to President Lyndon B. Johnson, and representatives of United Fruit, a Cabot CIA connection, Libby and other large firms. Helliwell was also attorney for General Development Corporation, Lansky's real estate firm, which was run for him by Louis Chesler. As counsel for Miami National Bank, Helliwell laundered mob funds through Swiss banks. One of his associates was Wallace Groves, who served several years for mail fraud. Helliwell died one Christmas Eve, 64 years old, and had never been charged with a crime. protected by powerful friends in the mob and the CIA. He epitomized the ties between organized crime, intelligence agencies and the national government, all overseen, of course, by the world order. Miami National Bank, which is now owned by Citibank, was known for many years to be controlled by Meyer Lansky. The bank financed the Outrigger Club, which became a meeting place for Santos Trafficante Jr., Philadelphia mobster, and members of the Gambino family. Chase National Bank lost $20 million in this operation, but chose not to make any complaint about it. Citibank was also deeply involved with City National Bank of Miami, whose director Max Savitz was a longtime associate of Meyer Lansky. The president of City National, Donald Beasley, had previously headed Australia's New Gun Hand Bank, a CIA drug operation. Other directors of City National included Polly de Hirschmeyer, Robert M. Marlin, who operated Marlin Capital Corporation and Viking General Corporation among stockholders of American Capital, are Samuel Hillock DuPont Jr. and Paul Sternberg. Sternberg is also on the board of City National. While Marlin controlled City National Bank, it picked up the mortgage on the Miami Cricket Club, which was owned by Alvin Milnick, widely reputed to be Lansky's heir apparent. Another director of City National was Sam Cohen, a Lansky associate who controlled Miami National Bank. In 1973, a bank was established in Australia under the name of Nugan Hand. Its principals were an Australian named Frank Nugan and an American, Michael Hand, a former Green Beret and CIA operative in Asia. Bernie Houghton, an undercover agent for U.S. intelligence, who represented Nugan Hand in Saudi Arabia, has disappeared, whereabouts unknown. The attorney for Nugan Hand Bank was Bill Colby, director of the CIA. Directors of Nugan Hand were Walter McDonald, deputy director of the CIA, Guy Porker, a CIA advisor, and Dale Holmgren, who represented both the CIA and Nugan Hand Bank in Taipei. The president of Nugan Hand Bank was Rear Admiral Bud Vietz, former chief of strategy for U.S. operations in Asia. Also on the board were Edwin F. Black, a retired general who had commanded U.S. troops in Thailand during the Vietnam War, formerly an OSS operative in World War II and OST. Army Chief of Staff in the Pacific, he served as president of the Nugan Hand Bank branch in Hawaii, Edwin Wilson, who is now in prison for arms deals, and Don Beasley, now of Miami. Nugan Hand Bank expanded as Australasian and Pacific Holdings Limited, a front for Air America and other CIA investments. General Eric Koch Jr., a Washington public relations officer, was Nugan Hand's Washington representative. From the outset, the bank was actively engaged in the drug trade. Lernu says the bank controlled the $100 million Mr. Asia heroin syndicate, which arranged a number of contract murders. Hand boasted that Nugan Hand Bank was paymaster for ER operations anywhere in the world. In Saudi Arabia, Nugan Hand Bank handled the huge outlays of Bechtel Corporation in its billion-dollar operations. Bechtel employees were told they must bank with Nugan Hand. The Manila office of Nugan Hand was run by Lieutenant General Leroy J. Manner, who had been chief of staff of U.S. forces in Asia. The CIA station chief at Bangkok, Red Jansen, represented Nugan Hand in Thailand. We may recall that General Donovan, founder of the OSS, had gone to Thailand in 1953 as U.S. ambassador. Nugan Hand's important contacts with government officials, perhaps greased with handouts from its huge drug operations, shielded it from investigation. In 1978, despite repeated complaints about Nugan Hand's international drug operations, the Australian Federal Bureau of Narcotics refused to investigate. When increasing public pressure was brought to bear on the Bureau to investigate Nugan Hand Bank, the Bureau disbanded in 1979. It was controlled by the Australian Secret Intelligence Organisation, which in turn was dominated by the CIA. Inquiry magazine revealed that while director of the CIA, William Colby laundered many millions of dollars of CIA funds through Nugenhand to support political parties in Europe, the Christian Democratic Party in Italy was a principal recipient of this largesse, but other political parties in Europe also received millions of dollars. The world order saw to it that funds were given only to those politicians who would carry out their program. On August 15, 1984, The Washington Post revealed that the CIA had dominated the San Salvador elections by giving $960,000 to the Christian Democratic Party, and $437,000 to the National Council Party, to prevent Dorbwison, a militant anti-communist, from being elected. Donald Beasley, a former Federal Reserve Bank examiner, was introduced by Admiral Yates at a banker's meeting as the finest young banker I know. Before the debacle of Nugenhand Bank, Beasley was found to have transferred $200,000 from Nugenhand to his Florida bank account. He could not remember what this transaction was for. An Australian Royal Commission proved that the bank regularly transferred funds from Sydney to Southeast Asia as payment for heroin shipments to the US West Coast via Australia. It was a regular conduit for payments made by Santos Trafficante Jr., underworld boss and Florida-based heir to the Louisiana drug empire. Although exposure seemed imminent, Frank Nugan continued blithely with his deals as a big spender. He was closing the deal for a $2.2 million country estate for himself the day he was found shot through the head in January 1980. He was in his Mercedes on a country road. By his side was the rifle he supposedly shot himself with, although in his last moments of life he apparently decided to wipe off all fingerprints. Police investigators found none on the gun. The investigators also decided that Nugan would have had to be a contortionist to shoot himself with the rifle in his car. Donald Beasley went to Florida. His other associates, CIA operatives Michael Hand and Bernie Houghton, disappeared. They have not been seen since 1980. For many years, the principal American intelligence agent in China was Cornelius V. Starr. Born in 1892, he organized the Asia Life Insurance Company in Shanghai in 1919. He also owned the English language newspaper in China, the Shanghai Evening Post, which gave him a dominant role in propaganda activities. He was chairman of the board of U.S. Life Insurance Company and other companies, as the leading American businessman in China. He was also an OSS agent, and his financial power in China gave the OSS and later the CIA their entree into drug smuggling. After his death, his insurance companies were absorbed into the American International Group. The American Free Press, known to the cognoscenti as the drug press because of Lucy's long-standing China connection, consistently portrays the source of the world's drugs as the Golden Triangle, an area of Laos, Thailand and Burma. However, this is merely a staging area for the world's drug trade. Review of the News in 1970 identified Red China as the world's largest producer of opium, its usual source of hard currency from non-communist nations. The refined opium reaches the free world, that is the cash world, through Canton and Hong Kong. It also includes heroin, which had been synthesized from opium in 1898 by the Bayer Company and became one of their most important products. Red China's mutterings about taking over Hong Kong when the present lease expires in 1997 allows insiders of the world order opportunity to increase their fortunes in the volatile Hong Kong real estate market. Red China has to allow the British to operate in this trading area to assure the supply of hard currency from the drug trade. When the British took over this trading area in 1843, they maintained control of the local population through the triads, the assassins, as the Hong Society was known, also called the Honorable Society, and the Society of Heaven, Earth and Man. Danny Mayers wrote in Fortune, August 6, 1984, British colonial rule in Hong Kong is not democracy. Britain rules by decree in all matters of importance. Hong Kong Chinese don't have democratic rights. Opium began as a cash crop in the poppy fields of Asia Minor, particularly in Turkey, where it is still an important crop today. In 1516, opium was the official monopoly of the Great Mogul in Kashgar. When opium reached China, about 1729, Emperor Yongzhen prohibited its use. In 1757, with Clive's great victory at Plassey, the East India Company took over the opium monopoly as part of its spoils from the Indian Moguls. When the British promoted the use of East India's opium in China, as payment for raw materials needed by their industrial revolution, they had been paying in silver. The Emperor Tao Kwan repeatedly warned them to stop selling opium in his country. When these warnings were ignored, the Emperor burned 20,291 chests of opium in 1830, a hoard valued at £2 million. This precipitated the British Opium Wars of 1839-42 and 1856-60. Because the communists were financed by the international bankers, the sale and use of drugs have always played an important role in the forward march of communist hegemony. In 1928, the Chinese Red Army began planting large areas of poppies in areas of China over which they had won control. By 1935, the Yuan headquarters ruled over vast field of poppies. In 1983, Red China had 9 million acres of poppies under cultivation. The Peiping government has 101 narcotics factories in operation, which refine from 50% to 70% of the world's drugs. In 1977, Edward J. Epstein revealed the true story behind Watergate. Nixon's domestic council was a group of aggressive young men trying to outmaneuver each other with new programs. Gordon Liddy, trying to break into this circle, conceived an ambitious program called Operation Intercept. It was not a surveillance program, but was designed to intercept the flow of drugs into the U.S. Nixon in his 1968 campaign had promised to move against the source of drugs. A special presidential task force relating to narcotics, marijuana and dangerous drugs had been formed, but had taken no action. Liddy got Jill Crow, Nixon's presidential deputy for law enforcement, to introduce the program at a meeting of the Domestic Council. Richard Helms, director of the CIA, was among those present. The plan was officially approved by Ehrlichman in July, 1970 as a major operation against the heroin traffic. There still was no real program, merely a public relations ploy, but senior staff or people at CIA panicked. They feared that their vast Asia operations, funded by their drug operations, could be wiped out. Liddy, meeting with state and CIA officials, says, "I pressed CIA on the problems of the Golden Triangle of Burma." Richard Helms replied any move in that area would be impractical. Liddy had set up Odessa, Organisation der Ermöglichten Schutzstaffelangehörigen, which was ready to begin operations. The CIA resolved to counterattack by setting up the Watergate operation, hoping to neutralize Nixon's staff. James McCord and other CIA operatives worked out of Mullen Company, a CIA front across the street from CREEP headquarters. The Watergate job was scheduled for May 26, 1972, but these highly trained black baggers couldn't get in. They came back on May 27 with no success, but got in on May 28 and photographed a number of documents in the Democratic offices. Then they were told to return on June 16. By this time the entire setup was ready, and they were arrested. Future historians will refer to the Vietnam War as the drug war akin to the British Opium Wars of the 19th century. In 1964, the number of U.S. addicts had dropped to 48,000, down to 60,000 in 1950. Then 15% of all American soldiers in Vietnam returned home as addicts. The drug monopoly was back in business. Two of the leading CIA operatives in Vietnam during that war are Mitch Werbel from Powder, Ga. and three-fingered Louis Cohn, who wore a gold decoration from Union Horse, the Sicilian Mafia, around his neck. After the collapse of the Nugenhand Bank and the disappearance of its principals, the CIA used the 17 international offices of a Honolulu investment firm, Bishop, Baldwin, Reweld, Dillingham and Wong as its Asian network. The firm handled some $10 billion in CIA covert funds, laundering huge sums for the Gandhi family in India, and worked closely with Marcos' right-hand man in Manila, Enrique Zobel, one of the 10 wealthiest men in the world, who handled the investment fund of the Sultan of Brunei. After $22 million disappeared, Reweld was arrested. The resulting litigation is being handled by U.S. Attorney John Payton, former chief of litigation for the CIA in Washington, from 1976 to 81. CIA headquarters underwent a change after the arrival of a reputed KGB defector. Yuri Noenka had been sent to the U.S. to assure American intelligence that Lee Oswald had no KGB connection, even though he had married the niece of a KGB major. Noenka's story was verified by another defector, Fedora, another double agent who had wormed his way into J. Edgar Hoover's confidence. Both the FBI and the CIA now had a resident authority on communist espionage who had been identified as a double agent. The Noenka caused the CIA staff to split into two camps, pro-Noenka and anti-Noenka. William Colby, director of the CIA, was in the pro-Noenka camp, giving rise to rumors that he and James Angleton were double agents, and that Colby had been recruited while serving in Vietnam. Angleton was forced to resign,